Morning, everyone, and welcome to the Friday, November 22nd edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'm be joined by Cole Sheldon today to break down Bellator London, which should be pretty fun to talk about. We're also going to talk about UFC London, so it's like a London-based episode today. Anyways, Cole, how's it going, man?
Good, how are you?
Doing good, Cole. I've had a good week, man. I'm sure you saw, I saw a perfect game this week. I feel pretty good about that. Still coming down from that high. Doesn't happen that often, so I was pretty happy about that. Looking forward to getting another one really soon. But until then, I got to keep doing my job. And that's talking about MMA with my buddy, Cole Sheldon. So got a good show for the listeners today, Cole. We got Bellator London. We'll talk about UFC London. We got a couple pieces of news. We got Mayweather. We got your Alan Crabber thing, Logan Paul, and a couple of fight announcements. So a lot to talk about. Let's get right into it, man. We'll do Bellator London first. We'll preview the card. That takes place tomorrow. Cole, how do people watch this card?
They have to download the Bellator app and watch it on their phone. You can't watch it on your computer. You can't watch it on TV. Like, why don't they just put it on Bellator.com? They do their prelims on that. Like, just have the card showing there. Like, at least it's better to watch on a laptop than it's a phone. That's the stupidest thing. They do tape delayed cards and watch on your phone. It's like they're trying to get people not to watch their product.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like watching things on my phone for too long. Like, the screen's small, you know, so it's like, it's great for reading stuff like that, bits and pieces, but I wouldn't want to sit there and watch a whole card on it. So I personally don't like that, but it is what it is. Anyways, we do have odds, Cole, for a couple of the fights. So we'll talk about those fights. There's a few other ones worth mentioning. I'm just looking at the Tapology page. I think there's like 50 fights on this card. Looks like there's just a ton of fights, man. How many fights is it? 20? Like, there's gotta be like at least 20.
Yeah, I think there's 18 or 19, I think it is.
And so they do a lot. They do big cards. We know that. We'll do the fights with the odds first. So let's start with the main event here, Cole. Michael Page against Gianni Melello took the fight on short notice, making his Bellator debut against Michael Page. Don't know if that's a good thing for him. The odds opened, crazy enough, at Michael Page -1050, Melello +550. How does Michael Page win?
First round knockout, maybe he'll throw out another flying knee, it's not even gonna be a competitive fight. Page is just gonna dance on him and do all his taunting thing and then land a knockout punch, kick, knee, something. It's not, and the guy they replaced him with, that Melello guy, he's been knocked out a ton in his career. Like, he doesn't have very good chin, and that's against lower level guys. And I just think Michael Page is gonna dominate this fight. But at -1100, it's not even worth betting.
I mentioned the current odds, actually. I forgot to do that. -1300, Page, Melello +850. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not even worth it.
Yeah, 13-1 favorite. Now, Michael Page obviously got knocked out in his last fight by Douglas Lima. We all know that. But the guy is still insanely talented, Cole. It's just one of those things where Bellator's reluctance to match him up with tough competition didn't work out. Like, the Paul Daly fight was probably his toughest fight before that, and it was a very close fight. And then he goes and fights Lima and gets smashed. So this guy is the ultimate can crusher, and no offense to Melello, but he's being brought in here to lose. He is filling in for Derek Anderson on short notice, so credit to this guy stepping up on short notice, making his Bellator debut. He does have a few notable opponents in his career. He fought Carl Amasu, a former Bellator fighter in Venator back in 2016, was knocked out in that fight, though. And in his last fight, he actually beat Will Chope, who once fought in the UFC against Max Holloway. So he is coming off a win there. But like you mentioned, Cole, the four knockout losses. And, you know, he's only been fighting for 5 years. He's been knocked out pretty much once a year since he started fighting. So I feel like that streak's going to continue here, man. Michael Page should win this fight by first round knockout. Again, the odds are insane. I don't even think they're worth playing. There's like no value there, really. So probably lay off. Maybe if the prop comes out, though, for Michael Page inside the distance or the fight ending in the first round, something like that, because I do believe he will knock him early. Maybe he toys with him, goes to the second round, Cole, but I can't see this fight going distance. You know, I just think it's too big of a mismatch, like, especially as far as the striking, the speed, and the accuracy goes. Co-main event here at Bellator London, Fabian Edwards against Mike Shipman. Pretty good fight here in the middleweight division. The opening odds had Fabian Edwards at -300, Shipman +220. And right now we have Fabian Edwards -350, Shipman +290. What's your thoughts on this one?
Well, I think the odds should be a bit close. I think this is a really close fight. This is really a fight to see how legit Fabian Edwards is. He's undefeated, but he hasn't fought anyone really of note other than Lee Chadwick. Shipman's a tough guy. He's coming off that knock loss to Costello Van Steenis, but other than that, he was on a massive winning streak. Some notable ones like Carl Noon and Scott Futrell before that. But I like Fabian Edwards here. I'm high on him. I'm really high on him as a prospect. I think he'll be able to get a win. I'm not sure if he will be able to finish Mike Shipman. Shipman's a tough guy to finish. He's been finishing both his fights, but he takes a lot of punishment before he gets finished. And Edwards could do it, but I'll lean Edwards by decision, maybe a late TKO.
Yeah, I like this matchup. Two good prospects. I'm extremely high on Fabian Edwards as well. He's looked great in Bellator. That upkick knockout was so sick. That was earlier this year, actually, against Falco Neto. This is his fourth fight this year, Cole, so Bellator's kept him really busy. Great signing by Bellator. I'm not sure why the UFC passed on him. You know, they got his brother, Leon Edwards. He's an amazing fighter, so it's kind of weird they passed on Fabian, but I think with the Bellator European series, like, it actually works out really well for this guy. He fights really often, and I'm sure he gets paid pretty well. So he's a great prospect. Like I said, almost all his wins are by stoppage, knockouts, submission. He's great. Also, Natasha from BJPenn.com did a really cool sit-down interview with him. So I recommend people check that out. She did a great job with that. Anyways, Mike Shipman here. He's coming off the loss to Van Steenis by knockout, like you said, Cole. But before that, it looked really good. He had a nice win streak going, like a really long win streak, 13 fights in a row after losing his pro debut. A lot of knockouts, lost submissions. This guy's very dangerous. By far, Fabian Edwards' toughest fight, in my opinion, but I still expect Fabian Edwards to win this fight. Does he finish it? Good question. I mean, like you said, Shipman's been finished twice. Not easy to finish, but he hasn't finished. Fabian Edwards is a finisher. Having said that, maybe the fight goes distance. Not sure about that. I do like Fabian Edwards here, though, Cole. And odds at minus 350, it's a little high, but I still feel like it is kind of playable because I expect him to win, Cole. I think he is an excellent young fighter, and I think possibly a future middleweight champion, like at least a contender. The other fight with odds is a really good lightweight bout between Soren Back and Terry Brazier. I like this fight a lot, Cole. Really interesting matchup here. Soren Back opened minus 290, Brazier opened plus 210, and the odds have dropped significantly since then. Back minus 135, Brazier plus 115. Who's your pick?
I'm really high on Soren Back. Just watching him in Cage Warriors, I always thought the UFC should sign him. I thought the UFC would have signed him when they went to Copenhagen earlier this year. I thought that made perfect sense. He's a huge star in Denmark. It's good for Bellator to sign him. Like, Bellator signing all these high-level European prospects and just bringing them along. It's a tough first fight for Soren Back. Terry Brazier is a tough guy. As Nolan wins over, like, Reese McKee, Alex Lahar, and Bama. He's a tough guy, but I still like Soren Back in this fight. I think it's going to be a close fight. I think it's going to go the distance, but I just think Back's pressure and his cardio will be the difference. I think he'll edge out a decision win.
Yeah, this is a close one for sure. It's a good fight. I like the matchup. I think the odds open too high, but I do like Back here, Cole. I think this guy's a really good prospect, man. I do think he's going to get the win here. Another guy the UFC passed on, and you know, Bellator is obviously going to get some of these guys to snatch them up too, but again, I feel like this guy could easily be on that UFC London card. I do think he is a really good prospect. Five straight wins, and I expect him to win here. I do like the odds actually now, my minus 135, so my pick would be Back. Just looking through the rest of the card here, Cole, we have couple other notable fights. It's actually a different Shane Campbell. I mentioned him the other day because the Wikipedia page had Shane Campbell that used to fight in the UFC. This is a different guy, so that's not the same one. Ken Coppinen's fighting on this card, Cole, against Andy Manzolo. Don't know too much about him. You got Charlie Ward taking on Petro Panini. It's another guy. This is an interesting fight here between Robert Whiteford and Sam Cecilia, two former UFC fighters. Any thoughts on any of the prelim fights?
Yeah, surprised Whiteford Cecilia so buried, because Cecilia, he was just in the Grand Prix, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I don't get why he's so buried. Like, he's fought, like, if you look at who he's fought all top guys in Bellator, and he's been on, like, main cards. And Whiteford's guy that was in the UFC, too, has fought, like, Daniel Pineda, fought Darren Elkins. Like, they're both well-known names. Whiteford's from Scotland, so I thought this they only have three fights on the main card. I don't know why you don't put, like, this fight on. And it's so low on the prelims, too, that I don't really understand it.
Yeah, definitely strange. I'm with you on that one, man. Two pretty good fighters. Rob Whiteford was another guy who was in the UFC for a little while. Didn't have the greatest run, but I think a talented guy. And Sam Cecilia, like you said, was in the Grand Prix. Kind of weird they're buried. But yeah, you know, we'll see what happens with these prelims. I'm sure there's going to be a few highlight reel finishes. There always is. I'm not going to lie, though. I will not be watching these prelims. I'm not going to lie. I'll probably check out the main card. But the prelims, Cole, I mean, there's too many of them. You know, I think we all love MMA. I get that, but like sometimes it's overkill. And I think like 20 fights in one card is a lot of fights personally. So Let's move on to actually, let me talk about this. I have a question for you first before we move on. If Michael Page wins this fight, as expected, does he jump back into title contention at 170?
No, Bellator will give him some other 5-2 fighter from England or Europe that no one's ever heard of.
Maybe they'll rebook the Derek Anderson fight. I mean, that was going to be a good fight. Derek Anderson's a very dangerous guy and a well-respected veteran, but I think Page would have won that too.
I don't get why. I know the first fight was boring, but just book Daily Page 2 in London.
I'm okay with that fight too, Cole. You know, I the first fight was interesting. I mean, it wasn't the most exciting fight, but it was interesting. We got to see Daly actually use his ground game, which was interesting, and then Page use his ground game. So the fight actually took place mostly on the mat, which was very strange compared to what I think a lot of our expectations would have been. But that was a 5-round fight. Maybe 3 rounds would be more exciting. I don't know. I wouldn't be against that though, Cole. Also, not sure what your thoughts on this are, but what do you think about Bellator doing like 5-round fights? For main events, non-title fights, I'm okay with that. What would you think? They don't want to do it for some reason.
It's some fights, like, I wouldn't want to see 5 rounds. Like, Salter Vancinas, that main event, I wouldn't want to see 5 rounds. So I get why they don't do it, because it's kind of weird if you only do it for some and not all. And I don't think a lot of people would want to see a lot of main events for 5 rounds. I think it's different that they only do 3 rounds. I think a lot of fighters, like Chael Sonnen, was a big thing in that. He said, 5-round fights, you're stupid. It's just no one can fight for 25 minutes. And why change your sport for bigger fights? Like, the Super Bowl isn't 5 quarters or anything. Like, that was his big point. I get the reason for 5 rounds. I think 5 rounds are interesting, but I would prefer just title fights be 5 rounds.
I know what you're saying, but I feel like you need these 5-round fights, like, in a way to prepare guys for title shots. Like, look at Zabit. Zabit's the perfect example of that. He's only fighting 3 rounds, and we've seen him kind of get tired most 3 rounds. What's going to happen, Cole, when he goes to 4 and 5? Even in a not, I want to see what happens in a non-title fight, because when he fights Holloway or Volkanovski, we talked about this last week, Cole, like, will he even be able to survive those last 10 minutes? I don't know, because I personally doubt it, but I mean, I'd like to see him go 5 just to see that. So I know what you're saying, like, some of these fights that Bellator does as main events really are weak. Like you said, Van Steenis, Salter, like, it's a good fight, but is it a 5-round fight? No, but I do feel like in certain situations they can do it. Like, you know, the Grand Prix, they did 5-round fights for that. Can they make exceptions for certain main events? I think they could. They just choose not to, but I digress. All right, let's talk about some news here. Floyd Mayweather announced yesterday on his social media he'll be coming out of retirement in 2020. Dana White retweeted the picture. They were spotted at the Boston Celtics-LA Clippers game the other night in Los Angeles. It sure seems like something's brewing here with Dana White and Floyd Mayweather, Cole. Something to do with Zuffa boxing. That's the rumor going around. What do you think?
Personally, I think this is just another thing to keep Mayweather's name. It's just going to be some sponsorship, and it's going to be nothing with him to do fighting. He does this all the time. He'll say, oh, I got a big announcement, and it's like, oh, I partnered with this company. And I just think it's just going to be some sponsorship thing. I don't think he'll fight. People saying he's going to fight McGregor in UFC, that's never going to happen. He'd get destroyed.
Yeah. Like,
McGregor would just throw kicks, and McGregor doesn't even have a good ground game compared to other people, but he would just take Floyd down, just rain down ground and pound. And I don't think it's going to do anything with fighting at all.
You're probably right. I mean, we'll see, though. Like, like I said, the Zuma boxing thing has been rumored for a while. Like, it's official, but it just hasn't kicked off yet. What better way to kick it off than have Floyd Mayweather fight and headline the card? Against McGregor, I don't know. Like you said, Cole, if it's an MMA fight, I mean, that's not even competitive. It's a boxing match, a rematch, not competitive. If it's a boxing match with 4-ounce gloves, there could be some intrigue there. I know it's kind of dumb, but I think Dana White and the UFC actually could sell fans on Mayweather's boxing McGregor in a modified MMA fight with no kicks allowed, no takedown, just, you know, striking with 4-ounce gloves. That could be interesting. I doubt it, though. But Mayweather's he's retired, man. So why would he come back and take that risk? So I'm with you, Cole. I know what you're saying. The only other thing is possibly the Pacquiao rematch. I mean, maybe the UFC could possibly jump in as a co-promoter. I doubt it, though, again. So you're right. It's probably blowing smoke. And he's hilarious, though. He trolls the media so hard, man. Like, the other day he had that – and I saw your article, Cole. He talked to Yahoo, and he's like, oh, boxing's, like, such a dangerous sport. Like, I would never compete in it again. Then 2 days later, he's like – or the next day, he's like, oh, I'm going to return to the cage – or to the ring, I should say. So the guy's trolling the media. Actually, it's funny. I don't know if you saw on – I looked on the Instagram and the replies. Kevin Aioli and Yahoo, he's like, but yesterday Mayweather said he doesn't want to do boxing anymore. Like – This guy just trolls the media so hard. I love it, man. No wonder. He just gets us talking about him, you know? Like you said, Cole. So I think he trolled Yahoo. I think he trolled us. I think he trolled everyone, man. But we'll see what happens there. All right. A couple other things here. Luke Rockhold, you did the article on this. He says he would consider returning, but only for 195 pounds. You think that ever happens? 195-pound Franklin weight division?
If the UFC won't even do 165, they're not doing 195. Middleweight and 205 are some of their weaker divisions. They're not going to take from 185 and 205 to make 195, and they won't even do 165. I think – I don't even think 165 will ever happen, so that's how much possibility I think 195 will ever happen.
Yeah, I think 165 makes a lot more sense. I don't know why the UFC is so, like, just – they won't do it. Like, they're just – we're not doing it. It makes a lot of sense. 195, I'm with you. I've seen a lot of people say in the past, like, why not? But to me, you're right, Cole. You pick either 185 or 205. But the 165, something I'll always be for. It seems like that kind of pro 165-pound thing is kind of, like, gone away ever since Dana said they're not going to do it. But I would like to see the media kind of start pushing for that again. You know, I just feel like there's so much talent between 155 and 170, Cole, that you can't use that one extra division. And a lot of people say, well, those divisions will get weak. There are guys at 170 like Jeff Neal who aren't even like ranked. You know what I mean? So to me, there are guys that could drop down 5 pounds or guys that can move up 5 pounds. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, they don't want to change history and they want to move the belt 5 pounds, but I feel like that still would make sense, but I digress. I want to talk about this. You did the interview yesterday, Alan Crowder. He announced his retirement from mixed martial arts. Just talk about what you guys talked about during your interview and what Alan said about memory loss.
Yeah, so Alan texted me and said, I'm retiring. Can we get it out there? Because there was a lot of talk that he got cut. It's like a week ago I texted him, did you get cut? He's like, no, and that was it. And then last night, or 2 nights ago, I guess, he said, I'm retiring. Can we get it out there? I just thought it was going to be him announcing his retirement. Alan's always going to get to me, so I'm like, yeah, I'll get it out. And then I basically said, why are you retiring? Like, you're only 30. And he says, I have a little daughter and I can't remember stuff. He's like, there's just basic stuff. Like, I'll go do something. Like, he used an example. He's like, he makes a cup of coffee and he puts theanine in it. It's some, like, I don't know, I guess it helps. I forget what he said it helps with, but he'll get the coffee on the Keurig and then he'll look for it and he'll stress out for like a couple minutes to his wife saying he can't remember where he put it. And then his wife will come in and the coffee's made off the Keurig. The theanine's out of the cupboard and he doesn't remember doing any of that. And it's just stuff like that. He's like, I have a little daughter and he needs to be there for her. He wants to see her grow up and he fears the worst. He's like, I could fight for another couple of years, but what happens if I die in there? Like, so it's good for him to get out. And then I see a lot of people, he's like, I'm still going to do jujitsu and boxing. And people are like, oh, why are you still doing boxing if you have memory loss? It's just boxing training. Like, he's basically just said he's hitting the pads and whatnot. Like, it's not a fight where you're getting full on like whacked in your head, but. And it's still better for him to do that than get into a fight. Just that way he doesn't get the itch to return. But it's just scary stuff. It's CTE is something a lot of people haven't heard in MMA because it's so new. And you can't find it until you die. And I think this is just the beginning of a lot of fighters. You'll see coming out and saying, I have memory loss or I'm suffering from like the anger problems that a lot of CTE symptoms are.
Yeah, no, you're right, Cole. I mean, we see it in hockey, football, obviously. It will start coming on MMA. You'll start hearing more stories. Like, Alan Crowder's just kind of a little bit surprising in a way because he's not, first off, he's not that old. And he doesn't have that many fights, Cole. So it's like, it's just a perfect example of, you know, he only has 15 fights. So, and he's only 30. So he's a young guy. He hasn't had that many fights. He's only been fighting for 5 years, Cole. But the damage these guys take in the training is something that we don't consider enough. Like, I bet you he spars really hard. I bet you he gets knocked out in sparring. You know, I bet he knocks people out in sparring too. Some people might point to the fights he had this year, the Greg Hardy fight where he got kneed, the Yarzino Rozenstruik fight where he got KO'd. I'm sure those played a role somewhat, cool, but I'm sure he had these symptoms before that, man. You know, like, it's not something I think it just pops up. It's something that kind of develops over time. Like you said, Cole, we don't know enough about CTE yet, but I'm curious to see what happens, and I've always thought about this, like, 20, 30 years down the road, when they look at a guy like Chuck Liddell, when they look at a guy like Randy Couture, like Tito Ortiz, those pioneers of the sport, what are their brains going to look like if they actually take a look at them? I'm very interested in seeing that. But, you know, all the best to Alan Crowder. I mean, you know, let's call it what for what it is. Like, I didn't have a great career. I mean, 10-4 in one contest. He made it to the UFC. He had the one win over Greg Hardy, but I guess he's going to be most remembered for that fight. But you know what? It's a tough sport, and I commend the guy for making it this far. He made it to the UFC, Cole, and a lot of guys don't make it that far. So good for Alan Crowder. And he clearly stepped away at the right time, if not a little bit too late, but at least he stepped away. And, you know, good luck to him, whatever future endeavors he has. A couple other things here, Cole. Logan Paul, he's appealing his split decision loss to KSI. He believes the referee unfairly took 2 points. Apparently, he's talked to some pro boxers and other fighters and people in the community that have encouraged him to appeal the loss. Do you think it'll be successful? Apparently, the California State Athletic Commission is looking into it, but I doubt it. What do you think?
Well, with the fight, the only reason why the ref took the 2 points is because Logan Paul, like, uppercut KSI, and then he grabbed the back of his head, uppercut him again. That's what dropped him, and then on the way down, hit him in the back of the head. And then when KSI was down, he hit him in the back of the head again. So there's 3 illegal shots. And the only reason the ref took 2 points is he goes, count the knockdown, because he thought that first knockdown before Logan Paul grabbed the back of his head was going to send KSI down. And then he took 2 points away, because in boxing, if you get a knockdown, it's a 10-8 round. So he took 2 points away to make it 8-8. It's washed. Logan gets the knockdown, but then it really doesn't count. Or he said, all I could have done is just not counted the knockdown, taken 1 point, and then Logan Paul loses by unanimous decision. So I don't think it has a shot, because then if they review that, they have to review the whole fight, and they missed a knockdown that KSI had. So then that becomes a 10-8 round, and then the 2 points doesn't even matter anymore. So I don't think it'll have any shot of getting overturned.
Yeah, what a shit show. Tyron Woodley said last week he believes the UFC is going to sign this guy. What do you think? I mean, from what I've heard, he has a wrestling background. Obviously, super popular. I know it's crazy to talk about Cole because he has no fights. CM Punk didn't have any fights either, and he got signed to the UFC. Do you think the UFC is going to sign Logan Paul?
I don't know. He's popular, but he is, like, really controversial. He has a lot of bad things he's done. He was a good high school wrestler. I think he won State of Ohio, or he was like top 3. I forget what they said on the broadcast his accolades were, but if he's been training boxing, his striking's probably okay. Who knows how much? He's like 24, 25 now, so who knows how much wrestling he actually remembers when he was 16 when doing in high school. So, but he's a big name. Would the UFC sign him? I don't know if they do. What fights there, CM Punk, and then what? Like, he'd get destroyed against any other fighter, just like CM Punk did. So I don't know if they'll sign him. It's going to be interesting. I think he's a name, and he would draw for sure if they do sign him.
I'm just looking right now. He has almost 17 million followers on Instagram. I mean, this guy is super popular. So even though I know MMA fans probably hate this guy and they're sick and tired of hearing about him, Cole, if the UFC signed him, it's a huge deal. I mean, it really is. So we'll see what happens there. But I know right now, I think he's under contract with DAZN, if I'm not mistaken, or at least he had the one fight deal. If I had to guess, Cole, he'll probably fight DAZN again, maybe another boxing match, maybe for Bellator, if he wants to do MMA. That probably makes more sense in the UFC at this point, but I do think we'll see him in MMA. I think there's a market for this guy for people to watch. Even if they want to see him lose, I think people will tune in to watch this guy fight. A couple other things here, Cole. UFC in London was announced this morning. It'll take place in March next year. No fights announced yet, but all the speculations pointing to Darren Till versus Robert. You think that fight gets added to the main? I mean, at this point, it seems very likely, right?
Yeah, I think Till Whitaker probably main events that card.
You think they put Woodley and Edwards as the co-main event? You see,
no. I think if that fight happens, it's going to happen a lot earlier.
Well, I want to hear, we were talking last night, and you don't believe the fight card, the McGregor card in January is going to happen. Let's hear your reasoning for that.
So we are less like 7 weeks away. There's no venue booked. There's 4 fights reported. UFC has announced a single fight for that card. A Conor McGregor card, it needs a lot of press to help build it up even more. How much press can they really do in 7 weeks when he still needs to train? No contracts are even signed. There's not a venue. T-Mobile is booked, so if you're going to go Vegas, you have to go MGM Grand, which they haven't been to in years. It's just too late for me to make that card. And then even Ariel, when he reported Shevchenko, Chukagan, he said this might be 246 because there's no word on if the January pay-per-view will happen. The January pay-per-view didn't happen last year. They ran into the same problem. They booked it too late. they didn't have enough fights and they had to scrap it. I think there's not going to be a January pay-per-view again this year, and I don't know when McGregor will fight again, because I think this is more to keep him in the headlines. People got him talking, and who knows when he or if he will fight.
Yeah, you think the UFC would have their shit together by now, as far as like booking these cards go, because they look what happened last year in Anaheim, Cole card got canceled second. That's not good. So I'm with you, man. It's kind of weird that the fight card's not that far away from now, and I don't know what they're waiting for. I mean, why has this contract not been signed for the Cerrone and McGregor fight? What are they waiting for? Like, the fighters both want it. I think the fans are okay with it. They don't love the fight, but they are okay with it. I'm okay with it. I mean, it makes sense, you know? It's a lower risk fight for McGregor to come back to than if he fought Gaethje or something like that. So to me, it makes sense. Get the contract signed, get these fighters in their training camps, and let's get this fight card booked. All right, let's talk about some fights that actually are announced and are official. This is a cool fight, Kurt Cole. Rafael Dos Anjos will be taking on Michael Chiesa at UFC Raleigh. What do you think about this fight?
Yeah, it's a good setup for Chiesa. I thought Chiesa should have got a ranked opponent. I'm surprised it's someone this high up in the ranks. Honestly, with the rankings now, RDA is ranked 5th. I thought someone like a Lawler, like a Luque, like someone around that range, like a 10 to 15 range would have been good for Chiesa, but it's good for him. He's had a ton of success at welterweight. He's a big name, was ranked pretty high at lightweight. It's an interesting fight. I don't even really know who I lean towards. Like, RDA didn't look too impressive in his fight against Leon Edwards, but then was really impressive against Kevin Lee. Chiesa's had two outstanding performances at welterweight. That was against Condit and Thiago Sanchez. So how good really is at welterweight? It's a good test for both. It's to see how good Chiesa is at 170 and if RDA is still a top guy at 170. So it's really good matchmaking in my eyes.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's an interesting fight for sure. I was surprised by the matchup yesterday when I saw it, but it makes sense. I did talk about this card yesterday, Cole, and I was like, they need to add a big fight to this card. Well, this is probably the fight. It's a good like third fight on the main card. So like you said, RDA, he hasn't looked great lately, but look who he lost to, Cole. Leon Edwards, Kamaru Usman, and Colby Covington, and he beat Kevin Lee and Robbie Lawler, and Neil Magny too. So this guy's fighting the best of the best, man. I don't think there's any shame in losing to the three guys he did, especially by decision. And the win over Kevin Lee looks really good now, considering Kevin Lee's last fight against Gregor Gillespie with that knockout. I know it was a different weight class, but still, he looked really good in that fight. Chiesa's looked amazing too. I mean, I've always liked Chiesa. Definitely a guy that was too big for 155. Looked really good at 170, but like you said, Cole, Sanchez and Condit, two guys that are on the way out of their sport. So to me, it's a very tough fight to call here. I don't even know who I lean towards either. Maybe RDA just because he's been fighting such high-level competition, but very, very interesting fight and a close one. A couple other fights here. Alexei Oleinik will be taking on Mo Green at UFC 246, or at least it's reported. We don't really know if that card's going to take place, as we just said. Who do you lean on this one?
That's interesting. Obviously, Mo Green's a kickboxer. Strike advantage, he'll have it. Will he be able to knock out Oleinik? He hasn't really shown he has a whole lot of knockout power. But Olenek's been chinny in his last couple fights. But if Oleinik gets him down to the ground, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, would you be surprised if Oleinik chokes out Green here?
No.
Like, this is a classic striker versus grappler. Is basically, can Green knock out Oleinik before Oleinik gets his fight down to the ground? Because I don't think it's will Oleinik be able to get down. I think it's when he'll be able to get it down.
Yeah, like, I mean, sorry, go ahead.
And I just think it's basically, can Green knock out Oleinik before Oleinik gets his fight down to the ground? So I think once it gets down to the ground, I think he's going to choke him out.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that it's mostly a striker versus grappler, but I do think Green's a little bit of a better grappler than maybe you're giving credit for, or a lot of people would. Against Oleinik, you know, that'll be a tough test, but I do think he can hold his own a little bit. But yeah, this fight goes to the ground, Cole, you're right. It's probably going to be Oleinik with that Ezekiel choke again or something. If it stays on the feet, though, Cole, this guy is so chinny at this point. He's 42 years old, Cole. So he's getting really up there in age. He's been knocked out 7 times. He's been knocked out in 3 of his last 5 fights. Coming back, coming off that 12-second knockout loss to Walt Harris. Mo Green got knocked out in 2 minutes, too. So this is a coin flip, Cole. Honestly, I'm having a hard time with this one as well. But I guess I lean towards Mo Green a little bit just because he is like 10 years younger. And with that chain of Oleinik, I just can't trust him anymore.
Well, last fight. I just want to add, what do you think the odds will be just going back for Chiesa and RDA and then this fight?
Oh, man, you're pretty well inspired. You know, the RDA Chiesa fight, I think that'll be close. If I had to guess, maybe like minus like 150 for RDA, plus 120 or whatever for Chiesa, like something close like that, maybe a little closer, like 140, 110, something like that. Oleinik Green, that one literally could be a pickup fight.
Wouldn't yeah,
be
that's inspired. What I think too.
Lazy, and we're like just minus 120 apiece at the open. So Two tough fights to call, but I do kind of lean towards RDA a little bit now that I'm thinking about it, Cole. Just the experience, man. Former champion. But the other fight, yeah, that is like most heavyweight fights, Cole. It's a coin flip. The last fight I want to talk about here, UFC Busan, Amanda Lemos against Miranda Granger. Granger is filling in a short notice for Veronica Macedo. First off, Veronica Macedo had two fights booked at one point at the same time. Now she didn't fight in any of them. That was weird, right? Like, that was like one of the only times that the fighters had two fight booked at the same time.
Yeah, because she was booked for the Busan card and then filled in against, was to take on Lipsky 5 weeks earlier at the Brazil card. And then she got hospitalized during her weight cut, so she was out of that card. And now I guess the UFC won't clear for the Busan card. So we went from two fights to now zero.
Any thoughts on this fight, Granger and Lemos?
I'd probably lean towards Granger just because Lemos hasn't fought in a while. She hasn't fought since, what, July of 2017 when she got knocked out by Leslie Smith. Like, that's a long time off. It's over two years. And Miranda Granger's coming off that good win over Hannah Goldie in this summer. I thought Goldie was going to win it. Granger looked good there, so I'd half favor her just because she's been more active.
Yeah, I like Granger too. I actually like her quite a bit in this fight. Like you said, the long layoff. And I just think Granger's a really good prospect. By the way, if you go to Leonis's Tapology, her picture is her with Valeed Ishmael, your favorite there. So that's kind of funny. I talked about this yesterday, but the Valentina Shevchenko, Kaylin Chiagian fight, that'll co-headline UFC 247 or UFC, whatever they end up calling it for the Houston, Texas card in February. Do you give Chiagian any chance to win that fight?
No.
Can she win on points? Like, can she just do that?
I don't think so. I think Shevchenko can
grunting and
stuff. I think Shevchenko is a better point fighter than Chiagian is. Like, yeah, we saw in the Carmouche, she point fighted there and she was good at it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know what, Cole? And I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but I honestly feel like it's going to be a super boring fight. I can't see a boring fight. I think it's going to go probably five. And
I think it could be worse than the Carmouche one.
It could be. And that fight was really bad, by the way. A terrible fight. So I'm with you on that. It's most likely going to be a co-main event. This isn't official either, but Chris Taylor at BJ Penn's reported that Dominic Reyes is going to fight John Jones in that main event. To me, that's just another one of these fights that needs to just happen. It makes too much sense. But then, my question for you would be, who does Corey Anderson fight? Do you think he gets Smith? Do you think he gets Blachowicz in a rematch? What do you think happens there?
I think Anderson might just wait it out, see what happens. And because if this fight happens in February, maybe just Anderson just has to wait till July, the International Fight Week.
Yeah, but does it interest John Jones? Does he want to fight Corey Anderson? Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's a fight that interests him.
Did you see Jones's tweet last night, too?
What did he say?
Someone tweeted at him saying, like, I need to see at Johnny Bones fight in person. And he replied, he goes, ever been to Texas? So, basically,
Chris already reported that. I trust Chris, man. He's legit. He's got good sources. So, to me, that's a fight that's going to happen. I'm just going to see if there's anything else that I talked about maybe that I want to get your thoughts on, Cole, before we get out of here. Obviously, no UFC this weekend. Actually, let me ask you about this. I threw it on Twitter the other day. I was like, what are you guys doing with your break? And we talked about this. You think it's better to have these breaks in the summer? I'm with you. Just give your thoughts on that while I look at some other stuff.
When would people rather be outside and stuff, like have a barbecue on a Saturday night in the summer? In the winter, most people stay in the winter anyways, Saturday night, because it's too cold to do anything. It's snowy. Like, might as well just watch fights on Saturday night. I honestly think, I have no numbers on this, but just pure speculation, I think numbers would be better in the winter on Saturday nights than it would be like in a Saturday in July or August when people are out at the cottage or people are out doing stuff. Like, I think it's harder to get people to stay in on a Saturday night when it's nice out than it is in the winter.
I'm with you on that one. I think the 2 week break, I'd rather have it one week now. And there should have been like a week in September or October. I think we had what, like 6 or 7 weeks straight?
Well, we should have been 12 weeks straight from August until now.
Holy crap. I didn't even realize it was that many, man. Like, the weeks go by really fast. So yeah, there could have been easily 1 week break. I get it. Venues need to be booked. They're only available certain days. The UFC needs to go to certain places, fill contracts. I understand that. But to me, I don't know why they're taking this 2 week break right now. Like, I was looking around. I'm like, what else is going on? Like, they usually take a break in March because of the March Madness thing. And I get that. But like, what's going on right now that I'm missing out on? So I just didn't see anything. It is what it is, though. I mean, Cole, I think we all deserve a break. We all need a break, especially guys like us that work in this business. We all grind every day, so we could use this break. I just, I kind of wish it was 1 week now and 1 week a month ago. Like, in a perfect world, it would be three UFC cards a month and one break a month. That, for me, that'd be perfect, Cole. Because then you'd have, like, what, 36 cards a year, something like that. Like, to me, that's enough. I feel like when they do, 50 cards, that's a lot of cards. So that's just my thoughts on that. No, not complaining. I love watching the fights, man. But I'm with you, Cole. Like, there was a few weeks in the summer where I really wanted to just, like, hang out and, like you said, just have some beers, have a barbecue, not think about work. And now it's like, it's the winter, so I'm just going to play video games instead, like, let's be honest. Anything else we didn't talk about, Cole, today that you want to, grind your gears about, man?
Well, just going off your point, like, I've been a avid, like, person. Whenever I talk to, like, David Shaw, I pitched it to him so many times, just, like, because I talked to David quite a bit, but I basically say, this is how I think the UFC should work. I think 2 to 3 fight nights a year and 6 to 8 pay-per-views a year, but they're massive. Like, they all have 2 or 3 title fights on them, because some pay-per-views, they just aren't pay-per-view worthy. They're not good fights. Like, no one cares to see them. And that's the problem, is champions need rest. And I think it's hard to do a pay-per-view every month to have quality fights on it that people are going to buy it. But I still think doing four or five cards a month when there's 5 weekends is just way too much. Like, you need to give excitement, because I think this 2-week break is leading to more excitement for 245. So everyone's like, oh, that's going to be such a good card. When all these cards happen, you can't get excited, because basically, like, the way we work is you recap the card until about Tuesday, and then you only have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to put out content for that upcoming card to get people excited. Like, it's not enough time to have these fans get excited for these cards.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one as well, man. I saw you did the Cage Warriors thing. I just noticed that. Any thoughts on that? I haven't really looked at the card too much. I know the Paddy Plimblitt fight was canceled with Joe Gennetti. He missed weight bad. Just any thoughts on that and the weight miss, and also the other fights in the card? Because apparently it's a really good card.
Yeah, it is a really good card. It's 7 or 3 title fights on it. You got the light heavyweight champ. I think if he wins this, he's going to get signed. He's a good prospect. But that Paddy Plimblitt thing, Joe Gennetti. Gennetti took this fight on 10 days notice. And he basically said before he might miss weight. And Plimblitt was all freaking out, saying, like, oh, how'd you miss by 7 pounds? He's like, that's so unprofessional. I would never. And then someone sent a picture to Gennetti, which is kind of funny. When Plimblitt tried to make 145, he weighed 153. Which is just as bad. So he's like, how are you saying this is so impressive? And then he begged the person to take the fight. So it's kind of weird how Plimblitt was all going on a big rant on Twitter saying, oh, this fight shouldn't be work. Like, this fight's off at 7 pounds. But then he did the exact same thing. But yeah, it's a good fight. Good card today, I think. Yeah, today it is.
Yeah, there you go. And my boy, Brad Borden, our guy at MMAoddsbreaker.com, I think he'll be doing the commentary as always for that. Anything else, Cole, that you want to talk about before we get out of here, man? Anything else you want to grind your gears about?
No, I think that's everything.
All right, bud. Plug your stuff, man.
Twitter, @ColeShelton91, just the Crowder interview. Talk to Dan Lambert. Talk to Winkle John. We got all that stuff out next week. But, yeah, that's about it.
Good stuff with that stuff, man. The Dan Lambert thing, you guys got a good little thing going on. That's awesome. I love Dan Lambert. You guys can check me on Twitter, as always, at Adam Adam Martin. We're right at the bottom of the screen there. Podcast, MMAoddsbreaker.com, YouTube, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, and this morning got the email that it is on Google Podcasts as well, so that's pretty sweet. DJPen.com, got a lot of articles there in the MMA ring. Guys, thanks again for joining us today for the Friday edition of the show. Cole, thanks for joining me on short notice for this podcast today. I'll be back Monday recapping whatever happens this weekend. I'll try getting Cole back on sometime next week. No UFC cards again until December 7th, so Cole, you'll be back in December breaking down that card. Guys, enjoy your weekend. And I'll see you guys Monday morning. Have a good one. Bye.